They'll be saved if they're not already, and they'll hunger and thirst for God, and this building here will always be a refuge for them in the from the world. Amen. Amen. We're in Acts chapter 27 for the moment. I got a little exercise this week, and the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit. Amen. Somebody said, well, if it's just a little bit, why do it? Obviously, let me just read the Bible, and then we'll get right on into it. Help us, Lord, as we go about the next few minutes. I pray that, Lord, that first of all, we'll be zeroed in with our hearts and minds, and Lord, to hear the Word of God, and I pray you'll strengthen me and give me utterance to preach, and the Word of God will go out in great power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, and Lord, people will be changed. Help. Now, help us as we open the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 27 of Acts. I want to read verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. They listened to the people that were, the centurion was over this venture in this ship, and he listened to the sailors and the captain of the ship and all. He listened to them, other than Paul's warning that they should not try to sail at this time. And after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. But, and now I exhort you to be, here's our word, of good cheer. Good cheer is mentioned three times in this chapter. We may not get to the full exhaust of it. I was telling Kathy last week that we're going to be on this a while. There's two more messages, three more maybe after this, that I can see my way clear on if the Lord leads. But we continue this thought today. And he said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Cheer up, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Okay, they're in a storm. And he said, everybody's going to live. He said, and nobody's going to come to any harm, but the ship's going to sink. They're in the storm. I mean, really? The Coast Guard's coming after them, right? So they were in a terrible predicament right there at that time. In verse 14, but not long after they arose, you know, they started sailing. Everything looked good. We don't went through that other part last week. Long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, which means an east wind that can be turned into a violent wind. And that is what happened. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. There wasn't nothing they could do. It'd be like you having one of these new cars that drives itself and there's nothing you can do but hang on. I mean, in other words, it got out of control. Like if you told it to go to Chattanooga, but it wanted to go to Atlanta, and you in for the ride. And that's what was happening there. And that's what happens in our lives a lot of times. We got everything figured out, just exactly what we want to do, but it ain't what God wants us to do. And then a storm comes. And then we're in for the ride. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. Well, I got a cousin that was in the Navy, Harlan Gordon. When he was in the Navy, he made a big mistake, Philip. You know what he did? He called the ship a boat. He got in trouble for that because there's a big difference between a ship and a boat. Wasn't it you one time that said one of them sailors had to salute every seagull that came by, stand there all day? I think they got a little more severe with Harlan because they took that real serious. There's working on the boat, okay? And you know, and a little later on, Paul said, you can forget working on the boat, ship. You can forget it because we're going to lose the ship. When they had taken up, which way they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship. And there's ropes and there's chains, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. Strake sail, and so we're driven. There's quicksands on Weiss Lake. I mean, sandbars. I was in my old bass bomber, and they call it a bomber for some reasons more than just a bomber. I mean, it's a bomb. But I had that for years and years and years. I had that boat, and it was a good one, and it had high walls on the side and a Evinrude motor on the back. And my kids, I remember Andrea and Blake, we went out there to, they call that Goat Island. Is that what they still call it? We went out there and it was shallow and we put life jackets on them and we let them get in the water and we was in the water and it was time to go. So we put them in the boat and look over and get the other one. To get the other one, I'd put it in the boat and look over and the one I'd put in the boat was jumping out on the other side. And I'm just going around and they don't want to leave. But I've done this two times. I've hit a sandbar twice. Weiss Lake is called the boat-killing lake. You'll figure that out. I mean, you probably don't know. Stumps and sandbars, shallow places everywhere. So me and Abigail was coming. We were going fishing and I knew the depth of the water. But for some reason, I wasn't paying no attention. Whiplash. Like to jerk the transit off the back of the motor. We're on a sandbar, and we got out of it. And then over there, when you're crossing the Leesburg Bridge coming from Gadsden, the Leesburg Bridge, you can go this way going towards Gadsden. And if you're going towards Gadsden and crossing the Leesburg Bridge, not the floodgates, but the bridge on 411, you look to the right and down in there, down to the right is a humongous sandbar. And I hit that thing wide open one day by myself. It took me probably 2 hours to push that boat off of that sandbar. Okay, so here's quicksand. That's all we need. There may be some quicksand at Weiss Lake. I don't know. There's alligators there, somebody said. I don't know. You don't go to Yellow Creek. Me and the boys was fishing one day, and I looked around me. There was 5 water moccasins circling our boat. And if you knew what I knew about Weiss Lake and some big catfishes there, you probably wouldn't swim in Weiss Lake. You stick your foot in a catfish mouth, and then he'll think you are. Dinner. So they got stuck. They were afraid for the quicksand. They strike sail. I didn't know really what that meant. Strike sail, strike sail. I know you Navy. We got some Navy men here. You know what that means? They let the sail down. They just took the sail down. Forget the sails. I mean, you know. I mean, if it's going where it wants to go anyway, why have the sails up, you know? I've never understood how they can do those sailboats, and there's a lot of them on the lake now. You see them sailboats. But I don't know how when the wind's blowing this way, and you got sails, and it's going to blow you that way, but you can go that way. That just beats it all. I don't make a bit of sense to me. How you can go into the winds sailing on sailboat. I mean, that's beyond me. But they said, look, forget the sails. They're not doing no good. And they took the sails down. They strake sails, and so were driven, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day, they lightened the ship. Now, you know, we're just going really verse by verse in this story, and we're going to venture out some of Paul's pre-experiences to do this message and be done today. We're exceedingly tossed. You ever been there? You've been seasick before? You've been seasick before? How many times, right? Chick's been seasick. Have you been seasick, Chick? It ain't no fun, is it? You turn green, don't you? Next day, they lightened the ship. And you know what? They were doing the best they could do to get through the storm the best they could do. But you know, you understand that Paul had done warned them. You can read in this previous part of this chapter that he said, don't go. Don't do it. They listened to the captain of the ship and they said, that preacher don't know nothing about sailing. He don't know nothing about this. But he knew what God wanted. I don't know if Paul knew from one end of the ship from the other, but he knew the will of God. And that's so very important. Why? That there should be a preacher and a pastor and a shepherd. If it don't make no sense at all, it don't matter. The pastor knows the will of God. If he's right with God, he knows the will of God. And I'm not trying to push my weight around. I'm getting more of it to push around. But I don't want to push my weight around. Don't do that. That ain't the way it works. The Bible says that the pastor's not the Lord over God's heritage. So you can think about that. I'm not your Lord. He's the Lord. I'm just an under-shepherd. I just work for the chief shepherd. They lightened the ship. They were getting rid of some things. I don't know. It seems like to me if they get rid of a lot of things in the ship, it's going to make it lighter and they're going to go faster and more violent. I don't know, but I mean, they lightened the ship. You'll see later on they had to do it again and again. You'll see later on, we'll go by this a little bit at a time. They lightened the ship. And I'm going to tell you what, just to make some application, it wouldn't hurt for all of us to lighten our ships, travel light. You know, the Old Testament saints, they were nomadic and they lived in tents. And I've always heard it said, don't drive your stakes too deep in this life, because we can be subject to go at any time. But when our life, we get so involved with so much on the ship and hang on to it, it ain't worth it, friends. Let go of whatever God wants you to let go of, things, habits, whatever it is, it ain't worth it to be in a storm before you have to decide you need to lighten the ship. You got too much. I can't imagine those Mayflower people. I've been reading a book on that over and over again. And, you know, they started out with two ships and one of them wasn't able to go and they just packed into the Mayflower. They were packed in there and they packed for the journey and they made it. It's unbelievable how they came across the ocean overloaded, but they made it by the will of God. But these people had the light. They lightened the ship. They said, maybe this will help. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. The tackling had to do with all of the nautical instruments. I'm using the right terminology, Philip. They threw out everything that could help them maneuver and do anything about that ship except the anchors. They got rid of it all. All the tackling, the ropes, the chains, the winches, or whatever, chunking them. I'm going to tell you what. In a way, that's the way we need to live our lives without trying to make directions for ourselves or deliverance for ourselves. But we need to let God do that. Direct us, deliver us, guide us, protect us. They were doing the best they can, and they could. And look at 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, that would really trouble me. I need to see the sun. And at night, I need to see the stars. But it says, and when for many days, later on you'll see for 2 weeks more. And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Give up. They're in a storm. And those seafaring men that had been in storms before were now in a storm that they gave up on. Forget it. You know what that means? We're doomed. We're dead. We're not going to make it. Okay, where was Paul after a long absence? Paul was down there with God. He was somewhere in that ship alone for a long time. See, they had many days. No stars, no sun. He got with God, and he had been with God before. There was 276 people there. There's 275 plus one that got close to God. He had his disciples, some of his followers with him. He had Luke with him. Because every time you see it says, we. When it says that on Luke's analysis and recording of the book of Acts, he wrote it. He traveled with Paul. But when it says he went, some places they got on the ship and Paul said, I just want to walk. So they went on the ship and Paul walked. Got a little exercise. You know what helps us exercise? Physical exercise. Yeah, I just hear over and over and over again that there's a lot of people depressed. A lot of people depressed and down and out. And a lot of people are lonely. They're lonely. They are. Maybe you are. Maybe you got some depression going on. They call it depression. Went down and I don't know. But after long abstinence, Paul came up and gave them a little message. And this thing, let me back up on this exercise thing. I chased a rabbit on that for a minute. Yeah, I've been working this week. I got scars to prove it. I hate gloves. My hands, sometimes I'll put some gloves on that Larry Patterson give me when it's freezing cold and I'm on the tractor. Your hands will freeze to death on the tractor if it's cold weather. And I wear them gloves and I think of Larry. But if I'm out there working on the fence, barbed wire, I hate barbed wire. I believe the devil invented it. And I bought it. And I cut myself all to pieces. So the winds come by, the storms come by, and they blow trees over the fence, limbs, trees, what have you. You can't keep a calf in. It's like Levi told me, he said, the only way you can keep a calf in is with range wire. A calf can get right through a six-strand barbed wire fence anytime he wants to. So somebody knocked, the other day I was in the restroom other morning early, and Kathy come in there, and Kathy said, somebody come by and said, there's some cows out. I said, wonderful, what a way to start the day. I can't wait. And there's two little old black calves right there on the 21 there, on the pavement, right on the pavement where that electric fence is. They escaped. And so I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be running in today. Let me tell you, I learned a long time ago, forget running a cow. Forget it. You're not going to win. So I just went on by them like a car. They know my truck. And I went on by them. I turned around. I come back down off the side of the road. And I got about as far as near them doors from that window. And they're sitting there grazing some grass on the side of the road. They're looking around. They're guilty. They've already reached the age of accountability, which means I could kill them and it'd be okay. So I just waited, and they went. Both of them looked at me. I just looked at them. I looked at them calves and said, what are you doing? You know what they did? They jumped back in. Boy, I wished I'd have learned that trick years ago. Plus sweet feed. Any of biggins get, I get, they're addicted. My kids, my cows are addicts. They're drug addicts on sweet feed. All I got to do is holler, whistle, beat on a bucket. I wished I'd have learned. I learned it the hard way, Ben. You know that, Ben. Me and Jimmy Dan chased them cows down the road one day. He had a brand new pair of tennis shoes on, and it was muddy. He was running through the yard. Both of his shoes was mud balls. And listen, his wife was laughing her head off. Why do women do that when men get drunk? Ah! So I'm working out there. around the fences, walking, doing a lot of walking. And you know what? It just occurred to me how happy I was. If you sit still, friends, and I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times I need to do a lot more walking because bodily exercise profited. And let me tell you what the lack of bodily exercise will do. It'll affect your mental health. Now, you're just going to have to say amen. I don't know if you know that, but it will affect you mentally. It will affect mental health with lack of exercise. And everybody that's alive can do some kind of movement. It don't matter if you just do this. You know, some kind of movement. And the more you do, the better you feel. That's the truth, friends, by experience. And I'm going to tell you what, the lack of bodily exercise will affect your mental health, and the exercise thereof, a bodily exercise, will help your mental health. But I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It'll reach on down to your spiritual health. And then you'll say, I just don't feel like going to church today. Have you ever had a rough night? Have you ever had a rough night? Have you ever been up all night or nearly all night with burdens and this and that or whatever, have you? You hadn't been exercising and whatever. And then you say, I believe the Lord will understand. You know what? He won't understand. If you're physically able, this woman had a reason for not being in church. There's a woman sitting right back there. She's going to write a recipe book and give it to me, give it to my wife. Both these ladies could have stayed home today and I've not thought twice about it. I mean, I wouldn't because they've got reasons. It affects you all the way around. So these men, these sailors, for many days, they said, it's over with. I guarantee you they were down and out. And they were depressed. And they even started fasting. And out of 276 men on that ship, they weren't all Christians, just a few were. But they were doing their best the way they could to struggle sort of some kind of help. That they just even stopped eating. Now I'm going to tell you what, the lack of activity. I remember my PE coach at Tennessee Temple. I was sick one day. I went up to the coach. I said, hey, coach, I'm sick. And I was sick. I'm a true story. I remember this all the time. He was a fine man. He was from Illinois. He used to people that were from up north couldn't understand people from south, and people from south couldn't understand people up north. People from California definitely couldn't understand southerners. People from New York, who can understand them? But now, because of television and media, everybody's got a blend of all these accents. And I couldn't halfway understand him because he talked like a Yankee, because he had a right to, because he wasn't a Yankee. I said, I'm sick, coach. He said, go ahead and dress there. We're running up and down the bleachers. That's some exercise. Yeah. I said, I'm sick. He said, go ahead and dress out. He's trying to kill me. You know what? When we finished PE, I was well. But I was sick. I mean, I wasn't faking it. I don't do that kind of stuff. No. I'd much rather be running the bleachers as sitting in my dorm. You get in a dorm. If you get sick, you get in that little dorm, that little hospital they had there. It's just a little building, a little white building. They had a nurse there on the scene. And if you get in one of them rooms, you ain't getting out for 3 days. I mean, you got to get a regular temperature for 3 days before they'll let you out. I got in there one time. I was sick that day. I mean, I was sick. They put me in the infirmary. And they had a window there. My roommates come to the rescue. They brought me food. They'd picking on the window, sneaking me stuff in. They wouldn't let me out. Started just to escape. But you see, these men were no doubt down and down and down. But after long absent, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." And here's one man that made a difference in this whole journey. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Now watch this. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." We need to realize that. We need to realize, who are we serving? And who's our God? Whose I am and who I serve. The angel of God, who's mine, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, here it is, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island," and we'll catch up on that later. There was one man that got along with God. And he got along with God, and God appeared to him, and God told him, "You're going to be okay." One man made a difference in 275 men. One man. One man. Do you know what? Cheer, the lack of cheer, is contagious. You get down, you get everybody else down. Yeah, you feel. "I don't feel too well. I don't need it." Then the next thing you know, the whole crowd's sick and depressed. But I want to tell you what, it takes some effort for one man to cheer up 275 people. You read later on, they hadn't even ate. I might as well, let's just look at that. I'll get a little head there. I'll get a little head. They went on, they sounded in verse 28. They hit some shallow water. Sounded means nothing more than a rope or a string that you drop to find out how deep it is. They found it in 20 fathoms. That's about 120, 140 feet. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, found it 15 fathoms. And that's about 90 feet. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, wow, they got them a lifeboat. And they were going to leave everybody. Captain's supposed to go down with the ship, ain't he? It's really bad when brave men get afraid. It's really bad when brave men become fearful. My. And that's exactly what was happening. I said, "Look, there ain't nobody going to live. Nobody's going to make it. If you be afraid, they cut the ropes. Centurions and all, cut the ropes. Both fell and all." I hope y'all catch it. Stay with me on this. "Lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out the stern, which today, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, so they would have, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship," they're trying to trick them. And Paul said to the centurion, "The soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, let her fall, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, besought them to take to eat. "This day is the 14th day that you've tarried, continued fasting, having taken nothing." They hadn't ate for 2 weeks. They had something to eat, but they were so down, so where they did you eat? They were fast. I feel about down to earth. Eat you something to eat. See, I don't feel like eating anything. I know what I'm talking about, friends. I live what I'm saying. This time, I just lost my appetite. Well, eat without appetite. Get some. Do you know what? Harold Sotter, Harold B. Sotter, was one of the greatest independent Baptist preachers that the United States has ever known. South Carolina. Five Horse Road. Ben's been there. We went to a preacher's meeting in my old Ford 150, me, Ben, Blake, and Zach. We stopped at a, trying to find the directions. I pulled into a gas station, and there was some undesirable people standing all around. And I went in to ask directions, and I come back out, and they locked the door. They went to me, and they laughed. I said, I'm going to whoop every one of these fellas right around me. When I get that door open, I'm going to whoop all three of y'all. In Psalms, there's a verse that says, will God provide a table? Sotter preached a famous message. It says, can God provide a table with the rivers? That's just too tough for me, preacher. God can't. No, wait a minute. Can you do it? Can God provide a table for you to work? Can God provide a chair for you? Will you and son? Not eight, four, eight. That don't feel like exercise. Do it anyway. Do whatever you can do. I don't feel like eating anyone. Well, I did a pastor friend. So the day he got around me. Big man. Really big. He could carry his weight too quickly. When he shook his face, spit him in. Brad said, yes, yeah, we've been down at the hospital for about a minute. Six or eight hours, sir, by the post shop. We were down there at the hospital and we had a baby. And we went to eat. Brother Brown asked us. I've never been to the band all my life. Asked for grace to the band all my life. Thank you, Lord. The last question. Brother Brown notes, I said, let's go eat. I said, Brother Brown, I'm not moving. They're going to do a little exercise. Down in Dunks. Fast. Say, I took it. This kid went out in the sink. And there's a lot of people that did it. I think it's a good opportunity. What's it called? People are down there, man. So, I'm not going to say, being God, third day, stone your pot. God said, I've honored your grants because he was sinking for the new death. Big commitment to the sky. So, he told him to eat. The Solomon technique, same this day. This day is the 14th day that you've carried and continue fasting, haven't taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your what? How important is your health? How important is your mental health? How important is your physical health? He said, you need to get some food for your health. That wasn't just spiritual health. That was physical health. Physical health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. I'm going to eat whether y'all do it or not. Right? Then were they all good? There it is. Look. Then were they all good? They also took some men. But we're in all ship, 200 fish full of 6 feet soaked. I don't believe in either of them, but he might as well be like 5 feet. I don't know if all of them got saved or not, but they listened to Paul. Paul had an influence on their life. He had a great influence over the mariners, the captain, the seafaring men that, you know, couldn't help them. They come to the place that no physical help that we had. And then they've got a man that says, they said, hey, we're looking around, I wonder where Paul is. He's meeting with God. And he had a reason to say, hey, whose I am and whom I serve. Because he had previous experience that led him to be able and capable to be a cheerleader. And he can. Now, since the word, I'm not for you guys to get out there and get you on them long horns and think, and things. How about war? War for biscuit. Two bits, 3 bits, 4 bits, $1, all for biscuit. Stand up and holler. I'm not for y'all doing that. Of all people that need to be cheerleaders, it ought to be the men. Women are very, very most, you men agree with that. You're not going to do it, are you? You're afraid when you get home, you'll get in trouble. Women are very emotional. Amen. Hey, women, y'all say it. Amen. Why are you crying? I don't know. What's wrong? I don't know nothing. Ain't got a right to cry. If I had a baby, I'd still be crying. Need to lead from the front. Amen. I think it was President Reagan. I believe President Reagan, when he got shot, he was joking. Teddy Roosevelt got shot, going to give a speech. He got out of the car and a guy shot him. He went on in and gave the speech. Shot in the chest. Let's say, call the ambulance. I'm dying. What's that guy? Oh, that old cheeky boy. I'm coming home, mama. We got reason to rejoice, folks. Can God provide a table in the room? Yes, He can. He can help you through whatever you might be going through. There's two more messages on this. Oh. Two times the word shipwreck mentioned in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians is the first one. We're going to save the other one for later. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 25. That's where she did it. Yeah. No, that's not the one. First Timothy. First Timothy. Got the wrong one. Who was that? First Timothy chapter 1. Verse 19. Verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which hast before on thee, that thou by them mightest war good warfare. Holding faith. I remember Jerry Reeves told me that he's been, you know, and I hate him not to be here and quote him and all, but I don't think he'd mind, but he said, I've been so low at certain times in my life. I just tried to have just a little bit of faith to keep going. Jerry Reed, would you ever come? Just a bit of faith. Jesus calls you much faith, great faith.
little faith, no faith. They're subject to be in any of those categories at any time whatsoever. And holding faith, get a hold of the faith. See, the faith's got a hold of you if you're saved. But you need to get a hold of somebody. If I do too, you need to get a hold of them, get a grip. But some having fun with you, put away one. Some in faith, put one. That's my leadership. So I'm going to leave. So I'm not going to get into the jack hat Saturday. You know anybody that's not in church now, or anybody that you think of anybody that seems like they've shipwrecked their lives? Sure. One thing for sure, I got a new way of phrasing this. I used to say you're either in a storm, I mean, I'm the one that's going into it. Here's me. I was born in a storm. Don't feel sorry for me. Because I'm happy. And I'm sad. I'm happy. I'm sad. And I'm burdened. And I'm happy. And I'm burdened and burdened and burdened and burdened. And sad. Sad. Happy. Happy. Jack Trafenstead was a man that lived in South Jackson, South Alexa. Do you know Jack Trafenstead? You know where Young's grocery store was? So it's one of them. You'll find one of him. Quentin Young is his name. We're coming back towards where we live from less than a block store. Less than a block. Quentin Young had a store. I think the store was closed down when I was a kid there. But anyway, he sold worms for us to go fishing with. We go down there and boys get them. And we walk home from Jesse D. Smith School. Walk to school, walk back. We sure did. I think the only people, look here, my goodness, I got one more minute. Aren't y'all happy? So there was a man named Jack Trappenstein that lived on South 11. Well, we had to pass his house walking home from school and going to school that week. And not every afternoon, but enough times to scare the daylights out of me. An unsaved. What would you do, Daniel? If you was walking home from school, and there's a guy over there that had his alcohol content was not low, and he's standing on the side of the street from us. We never walked on his side home. But he's coming out of the street and said, come here, boys, I'm going to cut your ears. We were scared to death of that. I still have not respect. But there's one thing that happened to Jack Trappenstead. He got saved. You know what they called him? He was so happy about being saved. His new name, Happy Jack. You remember him? Happy Jack Trappenstead. Jesus said this. He said, if thou hadst known the things that, he said, if you had known the things that pertain to your peace, but just know. So I'm taking that personally. He's talking to me. I'm taking that and applying that to Roger Butler's life. When I get to heaven, I don't want to get up there and say to the Lord, say, look at all this that I'm the God who serve whom you belong to. And I believe you. That's what Paul said, that it'll be just like the angel of the Lord said, that we're going to live saved. Let's stand. Thank you for your attention. And I just pray
Heavenly Father, that somebody has heard and been helped from the Word of God today. Lord, somebody, maybe even in this building, no doubt people by listening have this great need. Lord, for this help in their hearts, physically, mentally, spiritually. I just pray you'll meet the need of every heart and life. And those that are struggling without Christ, unsaved, would you save them today? Let them realize the peace of God in their hearts, even when the storms are raging. Oh, how we wish that we could just open up hearts and minds and convince them. Lord, by our lives, I think, is the greatest convincer, is how we would live our lives in a storm. Let it be, Father, that we'd be not lose our testimonies. Let be a testimony as Paul was. In Jesus' name, we need to pray. You come on. You come on, bring whatever needs you have to the Lord. And also, if anybody needs to be saved, why don't you trust Christ as your Savior today? Let's let the Lord have His way today. The old song says, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, Thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, in the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of hell assailed and my strength begins to fail, Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. You obey the Lord now. You need to pray. You come on in the midst of faults and failures. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, Thou who knowest All about me, stand by me. That's a good song right there. It says, when I'm growing old and feeble, when I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing Cheerly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me. Let's sing that together. You ready now? When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing worn and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearly chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me. We're going to sing that first verse again. When the storms of life are raging, when the world is tossing back, ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water. Let's sing that verse best you can with me. Hum it if you don't know the words. When the storms of life and by me, oh, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Oh, when the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. We've got some prayer requests that we want to share. First of all, Dorothy, we're going to have prayer for Dorothy. Grandchildren, everything that's going on there. They've heard it there. Pray for them. They're going through a tough time. And then we just got a note here from Mr. Wayne Densmore in Springfield, Alabama. He's got a new grandbaby in ICU, and he's asking for prayer. He's online. Brother Densmore, we're going to have prayer for that baby, your family, and thank you for listening. Is there anything we can do to help you, let us know. Let us know. Matter of fact, if you'll send us the baby's name and the parents' names, I'd appreciate that if you'd like for us to go further with this on praying and trying to help the baby. Okay, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. If anybody wants to use an altar prayer, we can do that. You can pray where you are. We're going to pray. We want to pray for the baby there. And we want to pray for Dorothy's grandchildren there. We're going to have this word of prayer at this time. All right, all right. Okay. Chicks, just pray for us first of all, and I want somebody else. And if you'll pray, and we'll be dismissed.